This is Scott from Reno, Nevada, fan of the greatest jersey in all of sports, frankly. And by that, of course, I'm referencing the Arizona Coyotes Kachina jersey. Come on, Adam, you know it's true. And you are all listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Adam Minnick, Lonnie Goldsmith, Richard Cote here on the First Line Edition. And we are doing this in honor of National Reading Day, because why not do a podcast on, you know, Read Across America Day, right?
That's right. Right.
It fits. Of course, by the time you listen to this, half our crappy takes are going to be outdated.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, somebody will get traded in the midst of all this. So, yeah, good luck with all that. But we are recording this on Thursday, so we are, like, less than 24 hours now before the NHL trade deadline. But we went from like really, really boring to now everybody's moving everybody in the last like 48 hours.
And everybody thinks they're like, this is the last opportunity anybody has to win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
I believe somebody posted this, a hockey writer posted on Twitter that the NHL GMs must think that there is a meteorite that is going to hit the earth this summer that will end life as we know it. So this is the last Stanley Cup they have the opportunity to win.
Oh yeah. I mean,
because everybody's going all in right now. And, you know, Adam, you made the point of all our, you know, takes will be outdated soon enough, just so people to mark time exactly when this is on Thursday. The last significant trade, I believe, was Quick to Vegas.
Wait, Columbus, wasn't it?
Oh no, Columbus traded him to Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where have you been in the last hour?
Right. This is how fast things are moving. Richard forgot that he got traded to Vegas already. So yeah, so that's like the last significant deal. So anybody listening from this point, like, this is where we are in the world.
I don't know, an hour, like a 15 minutes after that one, Bustead moving for a depth trade to Edmonton was pretty good.
That's a good trade though. I like that trade. Yeah,
it's as we speak, there's a deal being finalized. Max Domi of the Hawks is going to Dallas, supposedly for a second, and Anton Khudobin.
Wow.
It's interesting. I think the way that we can mark the trade deadline craziness is you had the Eastern Conference made their moves early, for the most part, and the Western Conference, for the most part, is working it up to the deadline. And obviously, yeah, which is not to say the East didn't make some trades of note, you know, yesterday and today. But like, yeah, the big splashes early were the East.
Yep,
they did their work quick.
They did. Okay, so we'll talk about the ones, probably the biggest one of the day. Boston is. They're already all in, and now they're really all in on top of all in. Tyler Bertuzzi for a first and a fourth. So the Red Wings are done for this year.
Yep.
They're getting ready for next year with loading up on draft picks and salary space. Mm-hmm. Bertuzzi going to Boston, and now that's another guy in that middle six for Boston to play with.
He's a pest. He's a great pest.
I mean, you need a second Marchand on that team to just get under the skin of everybody.
Right.
Yeah, they don't do it enough. They don't do
exactly.
I mean, but all it, I mean, they've pushed all their chips in, and now they're reaching for like the deed to the car and the house. Like, they're really shoving in at this point.
Oh yeah, they are. Yep. Good move for Boston. You get the depth there. Good move for Detroit to get picks. Okay. The yesterday. So Wednesday, we finally got the saga of Jacob Chychrun to end, thankfully, for all those involved. Didn't have Ottawa on my that was not in my top three thoughts.
No.
What were your top three?
I thought LA was a really interesting landing spot for him on the back end. I thought Edmonton was another interesting landing spot for him. And I still thought the Devils may have been involved in a thought process there.
Well, Edmonton made their defenseman move.
Yeah.
once they went Ekholm, that, although they did move out Tyson Berry as part of that move.
Right. I thought there was another spot potentially open.
Ted, I mean, I suppose there could have been. Yeah, I mean, he looked pretty good last night playing for him already. I would have liked to have seen Chychrun end up there because I think the East is going to be a lot tougher place to shine.
Whoever comes out of the West may just have an easy cup final because they're not going to be as beat up as whoever comes out of the East beast. I mean, that's going to be a beast of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I'm already jotting it down. Eastern Conference final right now, Boston, New York, Rangers. They're just so stinking loaded right now. And for one of those to advance beyond that, to your point, they've got to be just completely decimated.
I mean, a Panarin, Tarasenko, Kane line's pretty juicy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this is the problem with their playoff. I mean, the problem with the playoff system is really going to play out this year.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Out of the East.
Yeah, it is.
Is that one of Boston, Toronto, or Tampa is not going to make the conference final. Is not going to make the second round.
No. Really? I was going to say, we're guaranteed to lose one of those guys in the first round.
Yes.
At least one. Yep. Guaranteed one, but it could be at least one.
Yep.
We had history. I don't know if you guys caught this on Sunday. We had history in the Tanner Jannot trade.
I didn't catch it.
First time a trade has involved a first, second, third, fourth, and fifth round pick. It's not the most picks ever in a trade. It's just the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 situation.
Yes, that was a 2023, a third, fourth, and fifth this year, a second in 24, and a top 10 protected first in 25, which I would imagine reverts to a first round in 26 with no condition.
Correct.
Plus Cal Foote.
Okay.
I have so many thoughts about this trade. I'm not going to make Richard do the work to actually bleep it out, but the LA Rams in football have this, I believe it's a quote from the GM when asked about these trades for these marquee players and giving up their draft picks. His response is F them picks.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay is on the F them picks strategy.
Oh, they have no Fs to give. But no. I also probably don't have any trade picks to give anymore either.
Yes, but they have two cups and three appearances in the last 3 years for it. So, I mean, I guess if it works for you, you know, go for it. But it is a weird thing it's weird to see teams kick the can down the road so many times.
The Tampa Bay Lightning, they may not even have a table on the first day of the draft. They don't pick till the sixth round in the 23 draft. in the 24 draft, they don't pick till the third round. I believe they have that. So their current roster is what you call a window. They are working with their window because they don't have a first round pick till 26.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a strategy.
It is a strategy.
It's like, if I were running a team, I mean, look, first of all, we've learned over the years of this podcast and Adam and our discussions of hockey for the preceding 20 years before that, like we'd be bad at running a hockey team. Like,
well, you could speak for yourself. I'd be very good.
You would not be. your takes are bad. They just don't exist on audio. I'll own up to the bad ones that I've made, not on tape. You don't. So I would not run a hockey team this way. This is not what I would do. Like the window is still open. You have arguably the best goalie in the world. You have arguably the best defenseman in the world. Like the window, and they're signed. They're signed long term.
Yeah.
Continue to retool. You never have to be in a position to rebuild when you have the likes of Vasilevsky and Kucherov and Point and, Kalorin's a UFA after this year and he's a little bit older, but, you know, Hagel, really good young player, Hedman, Sergachev, like you've got all of these pieces.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know.
They're going to keep going. They're going to keep going, and the trades are going to keep going. But before we talk about more trades, can we talk about the embarrassment that continues to be the Mulleteers? The Arizona Coyotes are a joke.
I will tell you, I will say this much for them. And only this. They are fantastic at amassing capital.
They sure are.
They should have more tribute videos than anybody else. I mean, not for guys that have played in their jersey, but just like stud NHL tribute videos. So this week, they've acquired Nick Bjugstad, Patrick Kane, Jacob Voracek, Shea Weber. Brian Little was last year. Andrew Ladd was last year. Joshua Brown. There you go. They've acquired all those players this week at one point or another. Once again, Bjugstad, Kane, Voracek, and Shea Weber are currently now, as of this week, on their payroll.
Yep. They have $28+ million in injured reserve and $4,065,000 in dead cap, retained salary of Oliver Ekman-Larsson, the aforementioned Patrick Kane, and Nick Bjugstad.
So it's about $32 million of dead money, right?
All in, yeah. Yes. 32.2 roughly, right. Yeah.
So that's $2 million more than their current rostered forwards.
Yep.
I don't see a problem with that.
Don't see a problem with that, yeah. And they're going to get be near the bottom of revenue and get money from the other teams.
Yep. Craig Morgan pointed out the Coyotes and ASU hockey guy for Phoenix Sports. The Coyotes legends who have never played a game, and this is a bit we sort of alluded to on the podcast, and he really laid it out so good. And this was before the trades this week. This was a tweet from February 22nd. The Coyotes legends who have never played a game, you're looking at a forward line of Datsyuk centering Hossa and Little, Pronger and Weber on the blue line. Dave Bolland centers the second line. They just don't have a goalie. Or you play no goalie and put Bolland out there and there's your six.
And you got Andrew Ladd, who knows Bolland from their days in Chicago playing together. You can put on a wing so the two of them will have some chemistry on the second line.
And in that time, they've since added Voracek.
Yeah, put Voracek on the right side with Ladd on the left and Bolland in the middle. It's a pretty good grind line.
That's right.
Yeah. They do need a goalie. They do need,
NHL team.
I mean, maybe Khudobin goes over there. Maybe the Hawks and the Coyotes work something out to get Khudobin over there as a goalie.
Yeah, I mean, there's 21 hours of trade deadline left as we speak at the moment. It's embarrassing, obviously. And this franchise has been an embarrassment for a long time.
Yes.
But, like, this is just taking it to a whole other level. On the other hand, it's interesting because they do things like that, but they're also not afraid to sign their guys. I mean, they're top three paid guys, Keller, Schmaltz, Lawson Kraus, all under 27.
Well, you have to hit a floor, but you got to hit a floor. So you got to sign somebody to something.
Right.
I mean,
but also it's like, these guys aren't going to settle for, young talent like that isn't going to they're not going to buy out their RFA years for nothing.
No, but they also aren't requesting no movement clauses from the team either.
Nobody, whereas, so many players in this league have had no movement, no trades thrown around candy on Halloween. One player has a no trade clause, and it is a modified one at that in the desert.
Yeah. They have a riches of draft picks.
Oh yes.
I mean, 2-1-3 this year, 1-4-3 next year, and 1-4-2 in 25 so far. So, I mean, they're building for something. So right when they move into their new arena in Tempe in about 5 years, 6 years, they'll be ready.
Yep.
There you go. There you go.
Just biding their time.
MyCustomSportsShare.com is a good partner of ours. PHN15 is the code. If your player has moved and you need a new logo for your favorite chair, go ahead and get it. MyCustomSportsShare.com. PHN15 is the code. It's always funny to me when losers trade with losers. Your teams that are selling when you saw Columbus and Phoenix in a trade, you're like, huh? Chicago and Anaheim made a trade.
Detroit, Vancouver.
Detroit, Vancouver. Yeah, there were some odd things going on. Okay, so we're less than 20 hours in as we record this, or away, I should say, from that. Who still needs? Who's the biggest piece? Like, what team needs a big piece still, or who hasn't done what they need to, Lonnie?
I had a feeling you were going to ask me that, and I was all prepared to say Jonathan Quick has to get out of Columbus to somewhere else. And that happened. I actually didn't think Vegas was going to be the landing spot. I really thought Edmonton maybe still needs a goalie. I understand they have an all-star goalie, but like I thought a guy like Quick with a squad like that really could have given them a boost.
But do you think Quick has anything left?
There's a leadership quality of a guy who's been there in a locker room where nobody's been anywhere close.
But can he stop the puck?
Well, he hasn't this year, which is why
move him.
I mean, who do you think needs a move still? We have not seen a lot of Colorado in this trade market right now.
Well, okay, so I still think Colorado is my favorite to get to the conference final, potentially come out of, like, I actually think they're going to come out of the West. I think they're laying low. They're getting healthy. I'm not sure they have to do anything else but get healthy.
Right.
To be honest. Like, I like where they're at. They're
Richard, that's one of your, that one, that's one of your squads. You worried about them?
No. And to be honest, the moves they've already made this postseason, or not, sorry, this trade deadline, they haven't been big, they haven't been splashy, but they don't really need that. They've had a stacked team that's just been riddled with injury. They're biding their time. They're getting healthy. As we've seen, they went on a little bit of a win streak before losing last night to the Devils, and gave the Devils a heck of a game, for that as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to come down to get this club as healthy as you can, enter the playoffs, and whether you're the top seed in the West or not, they're getting through the first round, with the talent they have. I'm not terribly concerned about that. And plus, they don't have a whole lot of money to bring on big contracts.
Right.
Like, if they were going to try and bring in a big name, they one, don't need to do that, and two, just don't have the room.
So, right. So I've got two teams. I got one in the East, one in the West.
Okay.
I don't think the Devils have done enough. I know they got the big name, but I think they're more than one guy away to get through the East in the way the East is. The team that has done absolutely nothing, that I know there's a plan here. But I still think you go for it, considering you're in the West. Seattle's done nothing. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
Buy or sell. Like, standing pat, I don't get that at all. They're sitting in that final wild card spot. Like, you got to do something, right? Just short up even a little bit just to, second year, get in the playoffs. That's what you want as a team.
That's why a guy like Chychrun would have made sense for them.
Yeah, he had term. Yep, that's the key with them.
He had term. They've got 3 seconds this year. They got 2/3 in 2024, and maybe you can keep your first this year, but you probably got to give up a first for him anyway. But like, he shores up your blue line. Like, that's guy you probably want. I'm a little surprised they haven't done something.
I don't know, like, where they're sitting right now in the standings. I mean, they have two games to make up on Edmonton and LA. They got one game to make up on Vegas. They're only sitting 4 points out of first place in the Pacific. I mean, they're sitting okay. But to your point, shoring up that blue line would definitely help them moving forward and, you know, potentially getting out of that first round. But I don't know. Like, I'm not as troubled with them standing still come the trade deadline as, you know, Adam seems to.
On the flip side of that, Adam, they have the second weakest schedule down the stretch.
Right, which doesn't prepare, doesn't show you what they're going to be against playoff teams. I think they let up too many goals. I would have liked to see them do something, blue line, something on the back end to shore up keeping the puck out of the net. Their offense has, like, last year we went into this, or actually we went into this year, like, where are they going to get goals from? Like, the way they expansion drafted and even kind of out, we're like, but they're scoring.
Turns out that's not the problem.
Yeah, I mean, they're like third in the Western Conference in scoring. They're middle of the pack in defense, and their penalty kill suffers a little bit. They don't play great at home, oddly enough.
Yeah.
I think they need to do something in the next 20 hours over the blue line. They need to keep the puck out of their net. I mean, and I know they're saying that they're brass is saying, oh, we're going to stand pat. Okay, fine. But I mean, as a fan base who's new and you know, in the, I'm not saying it has to be a big move, just something. You kind of want to see him be in.
Yeah.
Maybe. Do you have a name in mind that you think, like, or a player like whoever might need to go to Seattle to help him out?
No. I mean, that's, I mean, it because I don't think it needs to be a big move. It's one of those. No, I don't think it needs to be a big move. Honestly, okay. I think they just need to make a move of something. So there's a million names out there that they can grab because, you know, as a second pair defenseman, third pair defenseman.
NHL rumors.com says Philly is willing to listen on Provorov and Sanheim.
Okay.
You know, just again, not sure those, you know, names really do anything for you. Colton Parayko, though, could I interest you in that? From Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you could interest me in that.
I'd kick the tires there if I were Ron Francis. I'm looking at Parayko on the block and Armstrong selling off for parts, and I make a call.
Yeah, I mean, they got a 5-point wild card cushion right now. They are only 2 points away from not being in the wild card. So they're ahead of schedule. Like, get something.
Yeah.
Break. You know, that's okay. Okay, I see you there. Irony.
Yeah.
Two ironies going on today. One, if the latest news with the Hawks and the Max Domi trade to Dallas, he may in just minutes after being traded potentially play for his new team because they play each other tonight.
Well, I say walking across the
walk across the tile there.
Yep.
And then Patrick Kane will make his debut for the Rangers tonight. We already know the Breadman reunion. Their opponent, the Ottawa Senators.
Ooh.
So he'll see DeBrincat and Kirby Dach.
Very there. Nice.
Or, not DeBrincat, not Dach, but DeBrincat.
Yeah.
There. Which, I mean, talk about two guys that he loved playing with, that he was not shy about wanting to play with and all that. I just, it's like the sports irony is some of my favorite.
No question.
Those little things there. But yeah.
Can we go back to Parayko for a sec?
Let's go Parayko. Yeah. Let's talk about
it. I'm super intrigued myself, and maybe I've talked myself into it. And here's where I think Seattle could maybe get something done and not mortgage a whole lot of the future. This is the first year of his 8-year, $52 million contract. If you're willing to bring on all of that, I'm not giving up a first if I'm eating the remaining 43, whatever, million dollars.
Yeah, but see, he's got a no trade clause.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I honestly, the Blues aren't in a rebuild. They're in a retool. I don't think he's, I'm not sure he's, I think they want to move Torrey Krug before they move Parayko.
I'm not sure
somebody wants Torrey Krug with five years left.
I was going to say, look, I am contractually obligated as a Spartan to defend him at all costs. I don't hate what they gave him. I think the no trade clause on top of that, and if you need somebody to shore up your defense, I'm not sure Torrey Krug's the guy that's helping you.
No,
he's great going forward. He ain't gonna do much for you coming back.
But he's not even great going forward.
Well, he had been great going forward.
He can't find the net. The dude is not. I mean, he's got five goals this year.
That's obviously not what they were. Look, I'm sure they would love to get rid of him.
He's got 17 goals in the three seasons since they brought him there. Which, once again, I don't know what they were expecting, because like he's an average of like a six goal guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had two good early years in Boston, and then that was it.
What he's great at is the moving the puck.
Yes.
He's really good at the transition stuff. But he's not going to get you a ton of goals. He had the one 14 goal year.
Talk about a tale of two seasons. And this is old school stats. Last year, plus 23. This year, currently minus 31.
Ooh. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're moving Parayko. I don't think they're giving away another letter. I think that I truly believe Doug Armstrong thinks he's a couple players away from being playoff caliber. And he's probably right. I mean, the roster, it's a really bad, he's got a lot of money sinking into a weak back end.
Yeah.
And I still will say he has a goalie problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying a $6 million. They're paying a $3 million goalie, $6 million.
Yep.
But I mean, that they definitely sold off. I want Seattle to do something. They're a story. I want that story. I want them to do something. Everybody, I still think New Jersey needs another piece. I mean, they got a guy. They made a big move. Let's not pretend they didn't make a big move.
Yeah.
But in the East, I think they need to do more. I think the rest of the teams, I think everybody's done something that we expected to do something. I want New Jersey and Seattle to do something here in the next 19 hours.
That would be nice to see.
Yep.
So you said that that New Jersey's probably one piece away. What piece would you say?
I think they got to find a winger.
Okay.
I think they need a space creator.
Isn't Timo going to do that?
I think they need another one.
I mean, you got Palat, Rott, Timo are probably your top three wingers.
Yeah, I think they need depth up front.
Probably That's, one more piece wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering if they were going to get it out on Max Domi type thing, but apparently they're not.
Yeah.
You still got Double A sitting in Chicago, who's got some speed that can go in on the wing. They are scoring a lot of goals. I mean, like their goal differential is great, but I still think come the playoffs, I'm not sure their depth in a seven game series versus, I mean, they're probably playing. I mean, they're going to play the Rangers or the Islanders. It looks like.
Yeah,
is the best bet, unless we think Pittsburgh, of course, could sneak in. I don't like them versus Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh sneaks in and they somehow win the division, that's your 1-4 matchup there. I mean, that's a team with experience and depth. The Rangers are not going to skate them out of the building, so you got to get heavy.
Yeah,
and the Devils may not be heavy enough for an athletic team.
Right,
they match up real well versus the Islanders, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They match up well versus Carolina. But they got some sneaky, sneaky first round matchups.
Yeah. I mean, look, the East is going to be brutal.
Oh, it's going to be so fun.
It's going to be great, but it's going to be fun. Absolutely brutal for somebody.
Yep.
And there's not going to be a lot of short series in the East.
No.
No.
No. No, that's why it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. What about you, Lonnie? I mean, who's you tapping any, is there any player that hasn't gone that you expected to go by now?
Not really. I mean, it's weird. I'm more surprised. Like Jonathan Quick getting traded, not once, but twice, definitely surprised me. I really thought they would have, I can't believe they got anything for him out of in LA. And I obviously get the sense he wasn't terribly happy about the situation, especially for a guy that they're probably should get a statue there out front of the arena.
Right.
He'll get a video. He'll definitely get a video.
Definitely get a video. Assuming, you know, well, yeah, Vegas will come there at some point. So they better get working on the video crew. Better get
could be,
working.
Could be a playoff matchup too, by the way. Could be a revenge playoff series.
Oh boy, that would be something. No, I mean, like I think the guys we expected to move have moved. There's not really anything that shot and the destinations are basically what we thought they were going to be on, you know, many of them. Yeah. I suppose Tarasenko, not just the Tarasenko trade, but Tarasenko going so much before the deadline, like that sort of came as a surprise. I think that was sort of the wake up call. I think, you know, Adam, and you and I talked about this at length earlier this week, Kane screwing the Blackhawks.
Oh yeah.
Is in the return that he allowed to have happen. He held out. He had the no move. Everybody knew that he wanted to go to the Rangers, that the only place he was going to go was the Rangers. And the Rangers put the Rangers in a position to say, here's a bag of pucks and a third rounder, and we'll take your best player. Thank you.
Hopefully they go deep, deep, deep into the playoffs and that condition becomes highly conditional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does it take to move up?
Eastern Conference final, it becomes a first round pick.
Okay.
The 2023 second upgrades to a 2024 or 2025 because it's top 10 protected if New York makes the Eastern Conference final.
Okay.
So that's go Rangers.
big fan. The thing that's the team that sort of surprises me in this is Ottawa. You know, one of the things that, you know, Adam, you and I talked about was like the Red Wings, because of the blizzard that hit Canada in December, the Red Wings had the very weird back-to-back in Ottawa. And we sort of said the outcome of that is going to determine a lot for what Detroit does. Detroit got swept. They looked bad doing it. Philip Hronek and Tyler Bertuzzi, goodbye. But Ottawa's, you know, it's not like Ottawa's that much ahead of Detroit, and they made some moves, which kind of surprised me.
I mean, they're only about 2 points out of a playoff spot.
I know, but the East is really loaded.
Well, but at the same time,
I mean, and they have the fifth hardest schedule left.
But in acquiring Chychrun, it's not an expiring contract,
right?
So it's not like they picked up a guy that they're not going to have. So it's almost like, hey, could we make the playoffs this year, get these guys some experience? Can we get DeBrincat to want to stay with a reasonable number that we can afford? I mean, I think they had to go for it because, you know, you've got some guys that they've got decisions to make in the offseason. If you're showing that you want to win, you know, to a guy like Alex DeBrincat, who's an RFA, so you have to qualify him. Well, if you don't qualify him, he walks.
Yep.
You want him to stay. Well, if you're not doing anything to want him to stay, you know, Dylan Gambrell, who's a young, you know, their second line, third line center, you know, he's a middle six guy. He's an RFA.
Yep.
You know, going on there. So I think you've got to, you know, this is all with Stutzel's hit going next year with his extension.
Yep.
You know, they've got some guys that they've got to make decisions on.
Yeah,
Travis Hamonic as a veteran D man.
Right. But I mean, that's sort of the thing, given the confusing thing about the situation is that you know, we talk about Tampa has a window. Tampa has a window that's wide open because of the guy. They have all of their main pieces under contract.
Yep.
Ottawa doesn't. DeBrincat is a big piece potentially. Gambrell, like University of Denver guy, watched him skate in college. He's tremendous. And I'm glad he's breaking through at the NHL level. Really liked watching him in college. Like these are key pieces that 4 million, you know, that 4.6 on Chychrun, look, it's a great piece to have locked up for the next 2 years, but like they're going to have to move some other things around potentially to get.
Well, they got a lot of money. They got a lot of space. And remember, they should get a goalie back next year in Anton Forsberg.
And they have, you know, I mean, the good thing is they don't have to worry about spending any money on the first, second, and third round draft picks this year.
Right. Exactly. So which I think you get rid of those picks and delay your draft a year or two to get, because you have pieces right away. You've got, and they drafted high the last couple of years, and they've got some guys in the AHL that are getting ready in theory to come up. You got Tyler Boucher.
Yeah.
Sitting down there, that Gerventi kid, was it Robbie Gerventi that's playing down there. I mean, so you've got guys that are sitting there. I like them making a move for the now and the future. The Chychrun was now and future.
Yeah.
It makes us better this year. And then we've got a guy.
I'm not sure he's a guy who gets them in the playoffs, but it's a guy who potentially sets them up.
But he doesn't hurt them. Right?
Yeah. I mean, the East is just so damn hard.
I mean, they go into next season with Chabot, Chychrun, and Zub as their top three defensemen. It's not bad.
No.
No.
It's not bad at all for $16 million. I mean, I like what they did. I was a big fan of their strategy. Big fans. I think they trimmed up their roster nicely. Like what you can do with Manscaped. Trim it up. Manscaped.com/prohockeynews to get your discount. PHN20 is the code. If you need to scape your manhood or anywhere on your man body, manscaped.com, go get the trimmers. Non-trade news. There was non-trade news in the NHL. And this is uber first line style. Caught this last night, and then somebody confirmed it on the tweeters as I was reading. The Carolina Hurricanes have been wearing this year a phenomenal look, their red helmets with their white road jerseys. Last night they broke out the whites over whites.
Really?
I want an explanation. I hope this is a temporary issue. The red over the white over the red was an awesome slight change, but an awesome change.
It's those little tweaks that just, you know, make it that much more special, you know?
Where were they last night?
Vegas. So there's no reason why they couldn't wear red lids.
Hmm. And they lost last night. Carolina did. So maybe they'll go back to the other look.
I mean, you have to.
Yeah. Vegas was not, they went black over black over black. They didn't go with their alternate.
No, because they had a pregame special jersey for Women's Month. Which was actually pretty cool. And the numbers, they had key dates in women's rights.
Oh, that's cool.
Suffrage movement, vote. Yeah, it was really cool. It was actually a really neat pregame jersey, which once again, please NHL, let them wear them in regular games. I'm tired of this pregame jersey only crap.
Yeah.
Let's really put our money where our mouth is. I don't want the white buckets. I just don't. Don't get it. Why? Why do that?
Don't get it.
Maybe they forgot to bring the red buckets with them. I don't know. Or they got lost on the Southwest flight. I don't know.
I don't think they're flying Southwest.
You can never tell these days.
No. Not under the new oil man money ownership. Maybe the old days, but not now.
Yeah. Now the only thing is I want to see, I'm interested to see on Friday, let's see what Arizona wears. I'm wondering if they have to wear their red jerseys if Arizona is going white, or if there's a specialty jersey. That's why they only got one set of buckets, because it's easier to breathe. So let's see if Arizona's forcing them in a red jersey situation. Otherwise, I don't know why they would have done it.
Yeah.
But stay tuned. I mean, this is big. This is first line stuff right there.
You know what? I am glad that you brought this up, because these are the things we need to talk about on this line.
They are. And Thatcher Demko, he had some flying V gear on yesterday in practice, guys.
Oh, really? And
that helmet, chef's kiss on that helmet.
Well, I didn't see it.
Oh, it was lovely. It was lovely. Oh, I didn't put a link. Oh man, By the way,
while you're looking for that, let's go back to the. We'll see what Arizona wears on Friday. They are going to be wearing that alternate, the cream and red uniforms. So they will be wearing the red helmets.
The red jerseys, you mean?
Yeah, the red and cream Arizona.
Okay, jerseys. So they're traveling with one set of buckets and two sets of jerseys.
No, because they would they'd still wear their whites.
Then why are they?
No. Carolina would still be wearing their whites. They wouldn't bring two sets of jerseys.
Damn it! Then I don't know why. But this is breaking.
But Arizona would be wearing red helmets because of their uniform, because they're all red with the cream.
It's an all red look, red and cream. Oh, so that's why. So they've got the whites for
Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, but they're always you wear whites on the road, so I'm very confused.
No, I think you're not understanding what we're saying.
I am not understanding anything of what's going
Arizona's
on here.
Arizona's wearing dark, all dark,
right?
Red head to toe. So Carolina cannot.
Carolina cannot wear the red helmets.
Why?
Because it will look just like Arizona.
You can't have the same color helmet in the same hockey game. Is that a rule?
I don't know if it's a rule, but it might make it.
Have we never had a white, confusing. White, and black? We've had plenty of black games.
I don't know. I'm colors sure too we... similar, maybe? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I put the link, by the way, in the rundown there, Lonnie, for the Thatcher Demko flying V gear. So good.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I want Teemu Selänne to be coming down the wing.
Yeah.
That's who I think. Pavel Bure. Sorry. Pavel Bure. I was looking at a picture of there was a team with it. Yeah. Pavel Bure. Good old number 10.
Ooh. Yeah. I could get on board with that.
You kids.
Oh no, that's right.
I'm more the Canucks on the chin of the mask there. That's my least favorite Canucks logo.
I mean, he combines the flying skate with the V. I mean, it's oh, so good.
The V is better than the flying skate. I'll give him that.
The flying skate is so 80s, early 90s. It's, like it's oh my god, it's such it's an so era 80s. Appropriate logo.
It's mid 80s all the way.
I mean, it's Nintendo 8-bit action right there in front of your eyes.
See, I would love to see an alternate jersey with Vancouver, given their current logo with their past colors of red, black, and yellow.
Yeah, I've never liked them in blues and greens. Never. No. Never.
It's better than the last batch they had of like the dark blue, the red, and light blue. Yeah.
The Orca world, the Orca years.
Orca years.
The Free Willy was, I don't like their Free Willy years.
But I would love to see their current jersey in those colors.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing for a team. See, there's a team, I can't think of a team that went from, when they came in, they were the blue, green, white. That was their jersey until like 78. And then just completely, like, there are no common colors between their two color schemes in their history.
Oh, no.
No.
Like, I mean, good God. Like, you don't get many teams that, I mean, that's a total, like, it's not even close.
Nope. It's not even like, you know, making the colors darker or different shade. No, yeah. 180.
And then around the turn of the century there, right around, you know, late 90s into the early 2000s, with their stupid, you know, reddish, into blue gradient, then they brought in like the teal. That era was bad.
Yeah.
Real bad.
Wasn't a good look.
No, not at all. But are we, so okay, here's a big question now. is anybody going to, what do we see any standings changes because of these trades? Is any team just really, yeah, we're going to do it, Richard?
I think most of these trades, especially the latest ones we've seen in the East, have been just to keep pace with what Boston and Toronto did early on. I don't see any positions changing there in the East. Maybe the Islanders got a little bit better. Maybe they'll sneak out of the wild card and into the top three. But I don't know who's going to drop out of that top three. In the West, I mean, I think LA might have a legitimate shot at winning the Pacific, but everyone else was just kind of, you know, solidifying their position. I mean, you know, Dallas went out and, you know, shored up their roster. Colorado made the moves they had to make, but didn't necessarily need to make. I don't know. Colorado is just, they're still up in the air for me. They're doing much better than you know, what I was giving them credit for earlier in the season, but they're still kind of an enigma to me. Edmonton, I don't feel like they did what they needed to do. So, like, goaltending is still going to be their Achilles heel, and they'll probably still be, you know, another early exit in the playoffs. So, yeah, I don't think any of the moves I've seen are going to change any of the standings.
Lonnie?
No, in the West, I think that the two wild card in the top, you know, top three in each, I think the order may get jumbled up, but in terms of somebody coming from outside of those eight teams in and bumping one of them out, I don't think that's going to happen. Again, unless there is still time for moves to be made, obviously, but from what we've seen so far, I don't think there is anything. You know, there's the sports romantic in me would love to see Buffalo make some sort of run to get into the make a wild card push. I just don't think they have quite enough.
Okay.
The good news is for Buffalo is that they do have five games in hand on the Islanders.
Yep.
So they got that going for them. They also have a terrible home ice advantage going for them also. 12-16-2.
Oof. Yeah.
In Buffalo, they wear the goat heads more often. I think they'll keep winning. So just something to consider.
I'm on board for that.
But yeah, I don't think, I mean, again, similarly, the top three in each are locked. And I think they're even going to start pulling away from those two, you know, the wild card bunch. It's going to be such a blip. I can't get over how competitive the East is going to be.
You know, I forgot to mention a team that hasn't done crap and probably should have, or still should. The Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't done something so bad that we forgot about them. Like, they literally have done nothing.
Yep.
And they're sitting in a wild card race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how nondescript have they been all season?
You want to go on your Panthers rant again?
Not, they're just slow. I mean, they're just a slow hockey team, which befuddles me with that roster. I mean, seeing them twice up close in person, they're a slow hockey team.
And they just, they're slow, and they didn't really make a move at all.
They're 3 points out of a playoff spot.
Yep.
Just odd. Okay. So nothing changes in the East. You're still sticking with the eight that are in now?
I'm sticking with the eight that are there.
Okay. West, the eight that are there now have kind of been the eight. Like, this is like the East of last year.
Yeah.
You know, where we knew the eight in and the eight out. I mean, because Calgary just didn't make a move. I mean, they didn't make a run. I think we knew our eight there. It's just, neither division is set. I mean, placing is going to be so key in the West because I think matchups are huge in the West. Yeah. Teams not match, some teams are going to match up well versus the others. Lonnie, in your backyard there, what's Minnesota saying? What's their fans feeling about their you know, they got Nyquist.
They got Nyquist, who's basically going to be a stash for the postseason with his shoulder issue. Basically, you hope you can get him back a little bit early, but I think they'd be slightly hard pressed to have that happen.
I mean, Dmitry Orlov, probably the bigger pickup than, I guess.
They didn't get Orlov.
No, that was...
That was Boston.
That's, yeah.
Oh, that's right. He got moved through. Yeah. He got moved through. Right.
Yeah, they were the bank. Yep. They were the bank for O'Reilly, yeah, and they were the bank for Orlov.
My bad.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, like we've talked about this repeatedly, they're going to be a little bit hamstrung because of the 12.75 million of buyout for Parisian Suter, and then 14.75 the next 2 years after this. They're going to be a little bit hamstrung because that eats up a really big portion of the cap. Now, not as much of a portion of the cap as having those two still on your team, but it does limit your flexibility.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. You know, look, if they've, you know, long as Kaprizov is firing, they may be okay. You know, Greenway's been a name that's been rumored on the block, but like, I don't know. You know, good, really, you know, potentially good third line guy, net front power play, but I don't know. Like, I don't know what he brings back. And I think you still need pieces if you're Minnesota, because it's going to be a tight race down the stretch for you. Yeah. I think they get in still, but again, you know, Colorado looming over your shoulder, that's never a comfortable place to be.
Agreed. Okay, so stay tuned to every one. You can stay tuned to us, and there's a million hockey networks you can watch in the next 19 hours to get all your trade stuff. It'll be fun. Actually, I don't know if it'll be fun. I think it's going to be ho-hum. I think today, you know, we've kind of seen it all now. All the big names are gone. Unless there's a complete surprise of not on the radar, everybody we expected to go is officially gone now.
Like the Sharks somehow get an Erik Karlsson agreement.
Yeah, that's the only big name left, but it's seeming less and less likely he's going to go anywhere.
That name faded off the radar really quickly.
When teams were going to have to pick up, you know, that contract, you know, was it 11 and a half a year?
Yeah.
That's what he's getting. Yep. Yeah. That's and he's signed for like the next, 4 years?
He's got 4 years after this.
Yeah.
And it sounds like San Jose is not willing to take a lot of the salary.
I don't blame him. I don't think he's moving out of that contract.
We'll see. Okay. It's bet 99 time, Mr. Cote.
It is bet 99 time. All right.
Big week for you, by the way.
Big week for me.
Proud of you.
For going 3-2.
You're above 500.
Am I?
No, you were last for week. Like a week. For a week.
Oh, for a week. Yes.
For a week. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say on the season, I'm not. I'm 21 and 29. Adam, you're the reverse of me, 29 and 21. Lonnie actually sitting at 500 at 25 and 25 on the season. Last week, you and Lonnie, you know, stepped it up 4-1 each one of you. So, you know, I don't know why you guys are congratulating me. You guys had.
Sad Richard went above 500 and gained no ground.
Exactly.
Well, I was trying to help him feel good. That's why, you know, geez, Lonnie, that was so rude. So rude.
Yeah, I'll bring myself back down. Thank you. All right. Okay. Let's look at the games we have going on this Saturday, March 4th, 2023. Game number one, a potential playoff matchup, depending on how, you know, things shake up in the Central Division. Colorado at Dallas. Adam, who you got?
I am going to take Colorado. I like the way they're playing.
Yeah, even in that loss to New Jersey, they look pretty darn good. Yeah. Lonnie.
I'm going to take Dallas.
Okay. I am going to take Colorado as well. Just as I had mentioned before, they are looking great. All right, game number two, the New York Rangers at the Boston Bruins. Lonnie, who you got?
Oh boy, this is going to be a whole lot of fun. I'm going to go with the Bruins though.
Okay. Adam.
Picking against the Bruins at home is just like the odds aren't with you. I mean, every time we look at them, they've got a win streak above five games, points in like, you know, 10 of 12. Like, just give me the Bruins until they stop winning.
You know,
ridiculous. They'll probably have over 100 points by the end of the weekend.
I mean, New York is not too shabby on the road either at 18-7-5. I mean,
24-2-3.
It's ridiculous. It's okay. 99 points through 60 games, man.
It is. They are, yeah, but, you know, win streaks have to come to an end, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise they'd have just, you know, no losses. But I am going to go Boston as well. You know,
wow. What, wait, like all that buildup, and then you pick them too?
I'm a Bruins fan at heart. You know that. I'm going to go with them. They're riding high this year. Feels good. All right. Game number three, Pittsburgh at Florida. Adam, who you got?
Pittsburgh.
Lonnie?
Pittsburgh.
I'm going to have to, you know, at some point differ from you guys. So I'll go here. I'm going to take Florida.
By the way, this is a potential of like the boring game of the night.
Yeah.
Like this could be a game of grinding.
It could be, but it was like one of the closest matchups of the night. Like,
no, I'm not saying that. Yeah.
No, it's definitely one you should have picked. Yeah, it's definitely the fifth best game of the night, but.
But that is why it's on the list. Listeners, that is why it's on the list. All right. Game number four. This would, I think, will be a very entertaining game. Edmonton at Winnipeg. Lonnie, who you got?
Back end of a home and home. I'm going to take the Jets.
Okay. Adam.
I'm going to take the Oilers. I like them on the road this year.
Okay. I'm going to take the Jets as well, mostly just to get under Jacob's skin. All right. Game number five.
Eddie, I dig it.
Right. Minnesota at Calgary. Adam, you taking Minnesota?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I don't like it. I really don't like it. Yeah, give me just the home team. I don't know. Minnesota's on that Western Canada swing. They've got Vancouver tonight when we record this on Thursday. You know, Calgary's at home against Toronto, so they'll get pasted there and then bounce back versus Minnesota.
Okay. Lonnie.
Yeah, I'm taking the Flames also. Just don't love the spot for Minnesota right now.
Okay. I have been underestimating Minnesota all season long, so I'm going to take them in this one. I really have no faith in Calgary this year. And, you know, they've given me very little to have faith in. So there we go. There are our PHN picks of the week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at PHN Podcast. And if you would like to share your picks with us, you can use the hashtag PHN Picks.
You are in the pedestrian TV market where you don't get the power play package or anything like that. A lot of hockey this weekend to watch. ABC's got a doubleheader. NHL Knots got a game each day that they're each evening that they're showing. And then TNT has a Sunday afternoon game as well. So lots of hockey to watch this weekend on the basic channels without having to have a package.
Nice.
Tampa, Carolina, Sunday, TNT.
Ooh. That's a sneaky little Sunday afternoon TNT matchup.
Yeah,
isn't it? Slide that into the schedule there. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the only thing you're competing against is some college basketball tournaments, really, this time of year.
Yeah.
In the conference tournament section.
Yep.
And the end of the regular season for others. So, yeah. So, lots of that coming up. Lots of that coming up. We're going to let the birthday boy go first today for the parting shots. All of 48 years, definitely old.
Definitely old. Thank you very much for that. So was watching the Edmonton game last night where Connor McDavid scored two. Just insane, especially the second goal. Just insane. Going around Toronto defensemen like they were pylons. And it was his fifth straight multi-goal game. 10 goals in his last five. He is the fifth player in NHL history to do that. Who were the other four? and you're not going to get two of them because they might as well be like, you know, you get to a certain point in like the career mode in Madden and it's just an auto-generated name. There's a couple guys there that are absolutely not real people.
So four guys had multi...
Four guys had at least five straight multi-goal games.
Okay, five straight
multi-goal. Name the two that existed in your lifetime.
Would Gretzky have to be on that list? Or did he have five consecutive multi-goal games?
Gretzky did not.
Oh, okay. I'm going to... I want to go Mario and Yarmir.
You're one of two.
Mario?
Yeah.
Okay. No Jager, huh?
No Jager. This one's a little bit of a reach. I'm going to say the name and you're going to go.
So it's not Ovi then if you're going for a
it's
reach.
It's not Ovi. It's going to be a reach.
It's going to be a reach.
Right, right nationality though to Ovi.
Right nationality to Ovi. Current player?
No.
Oh. Buffalo player?
Yes.
Good old number 89?
Good old number 89.
Alexander Mogilny.
Alexander Mogilny. Very good. The other two, Joe Malone and Punch Broadbent.
Oh, Punch! Good old Punch, yeah. Yes,
those two both had six straight games. Super Mario and Alexander Mogilny had five, but Connor McDavid... With it now for the first time ever, this was a fact that surprised me from him this week. First time he's ever hit 50 goals in a season.
Really?
All of his right. All of his wizardry. That's the thing that caught me off guard.
Huh.
I mean, I guess I'm not terribly shocked because he usually has.
I know, he usually does it with assists, but
yeah, he's about 300 assists.
Yeah,
with his 42 goals.
Right, he's turned up his goal scoring this year and decided he is going to just single-handedly destroy everybody.
Okay.
So there you go. There, my parting shot is trivia time.
Yeah.
Well, there until you go. Then. Yes.
There you go. MASH Unit Central, Richard Cote checking in.
That is, part of my parting thought here. So it has been about 3 years since we've had to deal with COVID-19. And I got to say, it has been a good run. It finally caught up with me. I finally tested positive yesterday. It's been fairly mild, not terrible, but the entire household now has it. So, you know, at least we don't have to isolate ourselves from each other. We get to have good old family fun time. But Emily still gets to go to work because, you know, healthcare. So that is my parting thought.
Well, so many things have changed in 3 years with this bugger.
Yep.
It's for having a wife that works in healthcare and avoiding it for 3 years is like you should win an award of something.
You know, we back before, you know, before the vaccine, before, you know, we started loosening up restrictions, when we were on full lockdown, we hardly saw each other. When she came home, she went straight to the, you know, bathroom, took a shower, you know, made sure her clothes were separate from the rest of our laundry. We locked ourselves down even tighter for that. So, I feel a little proud that it took me 3 years to finally get this with somebody working in healthcare, going to a hospital each day.
That's probably why Gloria has been avoiding me for 3 years very often. It's for health safety reasons.
Obviously.
That's, you know, you exactly just, that's
right.
What,
mm-hmm. That's what it is.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's it. Probably something similar in your house, Lonnie.
No, my wife likes me.
No, it's the kids that don't.
Exactly. Well,
it's your birthday, so everybody likes your day.
Yeah, more or less.
We like you, Lonnie.
They're not making you cook, though, are they?
No. Dinner's going to be home in 2 minutes. So
there you go. Where'd you pick?
Lovely restaurant called Baccio. Great Italian place here in the West Metro.
Nice.
There you go.
The delicious salad and then some lamb pasta dish.
Ooh, okay.
Sounds good.
Should be good.
I like that. Like that. My parting thought is, yet again at the trade deadline, what we're learning, and this is Rob Blake, it was perfect at this. Just because you have a legend doesn't mean you have to give him a no movement clause and doesn't mean you can't trade him. That's exactly where leverage comes in and out. And I give LA and their brass when they were going through the quick contract. And I know it's not easy to move a guy like that. Now he's back in their division. So that'll be interesting if he can figure out how to stop Buck. But I love that he traded a legend that meant a lot to their Stanley Cup runs to get started on a new group for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't think that happens. And these no movement clauses became way too in style. And it's nice to see a legend kind of against his own will. Like, he didn't want to, and we were surprised by it. I like the surprises at the trade deadline. I do.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll do it for another edition. So thank you to our friends at mycustomsportschair.com, Manscaped, LDE Affinity, Jewelry Foco, and of course the Chicago Wolves store. Go check them out. We appreciate all our friends making it possible. For Richard Cote, Lonnie Goldsmith, Adam Minnick, for another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.